Hi, Kristen.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. Can you hear the music okay?
Perfect.
Awesome.
So you're going to intro Roy, and then I'm going to do the recaps.
I'm going to intro you.
Oh, you're going to intro me, okay. Got
it. Yep.
What week are we on?
This is week 11.
Thank you.
Hey everybody, my name's Kristen and I want to welcome you all out to week number 11 of our client education series. If you've been tuning in so far, you've learned all about the defensive strategies to building your financial house and you've had an adequate introduction to the offense. And tonight we're covering the details of income plans in retirement. As always, if you have questions about the material covered here tonight, we encourage you to reach out to the agent who invited you. We have two wonderful speakers for you this evening. Our host has been in the investment business for 26 years. He's originally from New Jersey, but currently resides in Southern California with his amazing wife, Kimberly, and their daughter, Skylar. It's my honor to introduce the great Tommy Lee. Take it away, Tommy.
Thank you, Kristen. Thank you so much. Welcome, everybody. Super excited. Can't believe it's week 11. Man, it just went so fast. And tonight, you know, get your notepads out, get your pens. You know, we get to listen to the best of the best. Roy and I know Roy for the last 20 plus years, but Roy and I really just met only the last year and a half, and I've learned so much from him in the past and up to now. And you're just in for a great treat. I mean, when you think about, you know, everybody's financial life and all the disarray and all the COVID and all the problems out there, you know, everybody is wishing and they're looking for hope. They're looking for possibilities. They're looking for answers. And, you know, we have the answer. We have the answer to what people are looking for. And it's financial education. Think about it. How many people really want to be financially independent? How many people want to be debt-free? How many people want to really properly protect their families? And we have a 12-week program that we get to listen to every week. And, you know, it's going to cycle through. And we get to listen to Roy tonight about how to build income through retirement plans and how, just get your notebook out, guys. The statistics are staggering when you see how many people are not there. So there's nobody better. Roy manages close to $1 billion of assets under management of people's money, just has made a fortune in Primerica, has been financially independent since his 30s. So he has his own radio show, always doing podcasts, teaching. And we want to turn it over to the great, incredible Roy Matlock.
All right. Thank you, Tommy. And guys, we got a lot to cover. I want you to take notes. And tonight we're going to do a quick review of last week. And then also we're going to get into some new material. But, you know, I was reading right here. Now I want you to think about this. Here's the headline. Only 47% of Americans are losing sleep over money despite pandemic. So think about that. Only one in two are losing sleep. Is that crazy? I mean, think about it. Almost 50%, according to this survey, they went out, Bankrate Monitor did it, and this number's down from 56% who said they were worried about money. So, we're doing better now, okay? So only 47% are worried about money compared to 56%. Why wouldn't it be nice to not be worrying about money? All right. I mean, that's what we do. We do this every week. If you're just tuning in here, we take and we work and get all kinds of stuff. Some of the greatest information you're ever going to hear. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to do a quick review of what we have been covering. And if you're wanting more information, what you need to do, you can get back on these things. We're going to repeat them again. And then also the person that invited you, they've got links where they can get you some of the prior type things. But tonight, what we're going to do, we're going to recap to begin with what we did last week, and that was college plans and retirement plans. Now, one of the most important things you want to do, and I see this all the time, is people get all excited about something. You know, they get excited about paying their home off, and then they go do it, or they work on that, or they get excited about they have a new baby and they want to set up a college plan. But there's an order in which you should do these things. And the first one, it begins by setting up a budget, all right? Because if you don't have a budget and an emergency fund, that's going to cause you to get in debt. All right. If you wonder how you get in debt, it's real simple. You spend more than you make. Then you have an emergency come up. You don't have any money. You borrow the money. Next thing you know, you're in debt. And so the first thing's that. Then we go from there and we go to the next stage, which is we go to getting the right life insurance. Okay. So we're going to do that. We're going to protect our income. We're also going to make sure that we protect against liabilities. You know, for instance, we have the right liability coverage, things like that, that keep us from getting sued. Or if we do get sued, we have something to back us up. Then we pay off the bad debt. A bad debt is debt that goes down in value. There's all debt's not bad debt. Homeownership, buying a bit, starting a business, stuff like that. Businesses, people do that all the time and go in debt. The only bad debt is debt that you can't pay. It's got you too stretched. And then secondly, it's stuff that you're financing that's going down in value. So we don't recommend you do it for cars and vacations and stuff like that. Understanding investments is next. That's the key, because you want to get your money working for you. Then once we understand it, we can put our money into the right retirement plans, college plans, and then we have other goals and dreams, opportunities. So what we do is we create a plan to get you financially independent. And so what we need to do is fund your FIN number. Your FIN is the amount of money you need to accumulate, so someday you can live off that money for the rest of your life, never have to go back to work. How about that? So you ask yourself right now, if I quit today, how long could I live on my savings? And at one point, what you're going to have to do is, we're going to go in tonight, you're going to have to live on it a long time. So you got to be saving. And so the first thing, though, had a buddy of mine call me today, Southwest pilot. He called me up. He said, you know, I'm saving. He's saving like 60 grand a year. And he's telling me, he said, you know, I want to enjoy life. He said, I don't know if I can, you know, I want to get a nicer car. I want to do this, do that. I said, well, you got to get your FIN number, right? And I said, how much money have you got? And he told me, and I said, he told me how much he was saving. He told me his age. And I told him what his FIN number was. Okay. And we came up with that. And he was about 10% short of his goal. Okay. Based on what he's doing. So he left saying, hey, that's cool. I'm doing pretty good. You know, that kind of thing. And so let's say you wanted to retire in 30 years with 100 grand a year in today's dollars. Well, at 3% inflation, you need $243,000. And if you got started today, you would need $2.6 million set aside. And if you had nothing to begin with, $1,421 a month at 9%, you got your FIN, you know what it is. That means you can not worry anymore, because you know what's going on. All right. So we fund the FIN. Now, we do can't, we've got people all over the United States. We really do these things for North America. That's the cool part about it. So I want to cover a couple things about retirement plans options in Canada. They're called an RRSP. So what that means is you can put, you know, and there, you're going to find that very similar in the States. I'm covering both of them, but you tax defer your growth until retirement. You and your spouse, the potential to contribute $26,000. Okay. So there's an example. So you start thinking, okay, $2,000 a month, okay, is what I can do. And it grows tax deferred. Okay. They're tax deferred forever. They'll grow on a tax deferred basis. More of your money is allowed to grow and compound than if taxes were taken out. So what tax deferral means is we don't pay it until later. Okay. And so you post, in this case, these things are deferred forever. And so tax deferred savings account, you can put 6,000 in that. So we got two different ones there. It allows you to collect what they call old age. Old age is our Social Security. Okay. We have a Canadian pension plan, and it allows you to pay less tax during retirement than you would when you were working. Okay. So what happens is, the whole idea on taxation is, never pay taxes on money you're not currently using. That's a rule. All right. And if you take that, say, because if I'm paying taxes on money I'm not using, it's costing me money in order to have the money. So what I want to do is defer it as long as I can. You utilize tax efficient strategies, can be rolled to registered retirement income funds. Pensions can often be also be rolled to what they call a locked in retirement income funds. And then you have open cash accounts, utilize T-series mutual funds, which allow a 5% or 8% tax-free withdrawal for up to 13 years. So if you are in these plans, what you want to be thinking about is, how does that apply to my do nothing money? my FIN number. So we start thinking about that. All right. Now, what about the U.S.? We got all different kinds of things. All right. You got company sponsors plans called a traditional and a Roth 401k. Used to, we all had a traditional 401k, but a Roth allows you to put money in after tax and it grows tax free. A traditional, you can put it in through your company and deduct it off your income taxes. If you're working for like a school system or a municipality, you'll do a 403b, very similar to a Roth or a 401k. 457s, you know, for instance, a lot of municipalities have that. A lot of the school teachers and nonprofits have the 403b, but they're all basically a way for you to deduct and defer taxes. How about that? Deduct and defer. Think about that. Going right back to the things that we were talking about, deduct and defer. Now, how much can you put in? Well, you can put in $19,500, okay? And then if you're older, you can put an additional amount in there if you're over 50. So you get a total of 26,000, you know, 26,000 bucks basically in your 401ks. So now you want to max out those 401ks. So let me give you an example. Right now, about 70% of the population has access to a 401k, and get this, most 401ks are matching money and only 60% of the people are taking advantage of it. Well, what's going on here, guys? All right, so if you're not, you wanna get to a point where you fully fund your 401k, you'll see that your 403b contributions are the same. They got the catch-up provisions. Most 457s are very similar as well. So they're all basically the same. One is called a deferred comp. But anyway, long story short is you need to take advantage of these things, okay? Now, what about switching jobs? Let's say you had a job. You're working somewhere. I was at someone's home not too long ago, and they had five different retirement plans from five different jobs. All right. So if you're sitting there right now and you've left a job, one of the biggest challenges that I see is people have their money scattered everywhere, and being scattered, they don't really have a real plan together. So you can roll those out into what's called an IRA rollover. And a rollover is a tax-free distribution of cash or assets from one retirement plan to another. Okay. It's called a rollover. Okay, so it's sitting in your 401k at XYZ company and you move to another job. Rather than putting it in your retirement fund with a new job, you have the ability to put it in your own IRA. Now, why do you want to do that? I'm going to show you in just a minute. But the main reason that you do that is because that allows you to have access to anything you want to put it in. Okay, if you switch jobs, you could do a lump sum distribution. This allows you to cash your retirement account out in one payment. Now, why would you ever do that? Nobody should ever do that. But those are things that you can do, all right? And you would get taxed on all of it, may even have a penalty. Or you can roll it to another retirement plan, okay? So you could do that. So you got options. But what we tend to believe is the best way is to roll it to an IRA, okay? And by doing that, that allows you to have access to anything you want to do and you get some more help, okay? Or you could just leave it. A lot of people have been leaving it. So let's keep talking, all right? So what's the advantages of rolling it to rolling over your plan? You got more choices. You got better communication, all right? Because you've left that company, it'd be better to have communication with your own account. In many cases, you can lower fees. You have the ability to roll it to a Roth IRA, and some people will do that. Now, why do you roll it to a Roth? Well, you transfer it to a Roth because then you pay the taxes once and it will grow tax-free. And in some cases, it will be better than having it in the pre-tax. And we do an analysis on that in order to help you. You've got cash incentives that you can move this over. It makes sense. From a cash standpoint, you may end up, you start looking at it, you say, wow, it's gonna save me this much money on that. You got fewer rules on an IRA than you have with a 401k, and you have some estate planning advantages. So those are reasons why you roll it over. Now, are you self-employed? Maybe you're a real estate agent. Maybe you're a small business person, something like that, all right? You can do what's called a SEP IRA. Now, those are for sole proprietors. And what that means is it's just you. You stick it in one of those, and here's the good news. You can put up to over $50,000 a year in there and take it right off your income taxes. You also have a simple plan, which you can do the same thing. So let's talk about how this works. A SEP allows an employer or a small business to make retirement plan contributions. Now, if you have not filed your taxes for 2019, you can still do it for last year. So what happens is if you haven't filed your taxes, you can go all the way and put it in the back. It's really designed for people that have like, you know, it mostly no employees. All right. It's available. The simple is available to small businesses that don't have any other retirement plans. It stands for Savings Incentive Match Plan for Employees. It's similar to a 401k, but less costly. It's mostly for smaller companies. All right. They don't want to put a lot of, so if you own a business and you got a handful of employees, something like that, it might make sense to look at a simple. If you're an independent contractor and it's just you, you're in the gig economy, that SEP is the best way to go. All right. It all depends, and you can do that. And that's what we go about looking at. Now, if you are not doing those things, you don't have a 401k, then you should be funding your IRA. And we have a traditional and a Roth. And what's the difference? A traditional IRA is something that goes in pre-tax. So when you put it in, it will come off your taxes. So let's say that you have a $60,000 year income and you put $6,000 in, you're only going to pay taxes on $54,000. So there's a tax benefit up front. It then grows tax deferred. Now, when you start pulling it out, you get to pull it out. But when you pull it out, you pay taxes. A Roth, on the other hand, is something where you put it in after tax. So if you make 60 and put six in, you're still paying taxes on 60, but you'll pay no income taxes on it from then on. So they're tax-free, growth, that kind of thing. Now, which one do you choose? Well, it really depends a lot of times on age and things like that. But you can do $6,000 on your Roth, and you can do an additional catch-up if you're over 50 years old, put $7,000 in. I'd highly recommend you do that, okay? So that's the thing on that. So when we do these, so which one do we do? Well, we've got the Roth is non-deductible, but not taxed at withdrawal. Remember we said that. And then the traditional, okay, is deductible, but you pay taxes later. So I know we covered a lot. All right. But this is a recap, by the way, of last week. So if you were wondering what's going on with why, you know, all this, reason I'm running quick on this is because we already covered this last week. We're just bringing it up. It's like going to your martial arts lesson on Tuesday. And next Tuesday you start and they say, okay, let's review what we did last week. So that's what we're doing now. What about college plans? College plans in Canada and the U.S. are pretty cool. I mean, Canada, they have a grant. So if you put money in, they will match, okay, about 20% of the money. It's called a CESG. That's the grant. And then an RESP, okay, where you put the money in, mom, dad, all this kind of stuff, okay, and you put it in, and they've got, they'll match about 20% of the contributions. Long story short is you can get $7,200 of lifetime grants from Canada. I kind of like this plan because think about this. If you put money in, they match it. It's kind of like a 401k. So that's how it works in Canada. Okay. USA, there's a 529 plan, an educational savings account, and also what's called an UTMA or an UGMA. Now, all three of these, the best way to look at this is they've all got some different tax amounts. The one that you would get the biggest tax bang for your buck is going to be the 529 because you can put more money in. At Coverdell, you could put less money in, it grows tax-free. And the UTMA or the UGMA, depending on the state, Uniform Transfer to Minors or Uniform Gift, depending on what state you're in, that is a gift. That does get favorable tax treatment, but it's not tax-free. And so what you want to do is look at that. That's more, you know, if you want to give more than the Coverdell, you know, a lot of people do the 529, that kind of thing. So anyway, we can help you with that, let you figure that out. So how do they compare? Okay. In both cases, what's happening is you're getting contributions, okay, that are growing in after-tax dollars and you're able to pull them out, okay, tax-free. So think about this, okay? If you put money into these college plans, all right, what's the biggest challenge right now that we hear about young people? It's student loans, right? Student loans are the problem. Why is there a problem? You know, because, you know, nobody saved, right? So they didn't save. And so now these kids are starting out you know, especially some of them are graduating now with what's going on, pandemic and jobs and all this kind of stuff. Can you imagine to be, you just got through graduate and you're like, gosh, I got $50,000 of debt. All right. And so what I would tell you, if you have children, start something, start putting some money aside. That way you can get, you know, you can get, give them a leg up a little bit just by helping them get out of there without doing it. So with that being said, I'm going to turn it back to Tommy. Tommy, you ready? I'm going to, Tommy's going to give you a brief recap here and then we're going to keep rolling.
Yeah, absolutely right. Just incredible information here. What I got, you know, is, you know, you need to build your financial house right. I'm just sitting here taking notes. I think getting your own financial needs analysis really puts those things in place. It puts the financial house in order. FIN number, you know, what that FIN number is, how important that is for your life. If you don't know what your FIN number is, you don't know what it is to be financially independent. So you got to get your FIN number. That's the amount of money needed that you can live without running out of money, okay? I heard you say never pay taxes on money that you don't need, okay? These are little bullet points, but they're huge. And then you went through just a vast amount of just tax shelters. You know, the question I kept thinking is, you know, are most people fully funding those tax shelters? And if not, why? Most of the reason is they don't even know they exist. So you need to get with somebody that invited you on this call and sit down with them and look at all the access that you have. If you're a teacher, you may have access to 403Bs. If you're a police officer, there's 457s. If you're, you know, an employee, you have access to maybe 401K. Everybody has access to traditional IRAs, Roth IRAs. What's the difference? You know, one has, you know, a tax deduction and tax deferral, meaning that you get to deduct it off your taxes and lower your income tax and grow it. Tax deferred means that you'll pay taxes later. The Roth IRA, it's important to know the difference. The Roth IRA may not be tax deductible, but it grows 100% tax-free. And whether you're in Canada or the U.S., there's still tax shelters for everybody that's on this call. And you need to know what yours is. I heard you say if you switch jobs, I mean, this is a huge trigger. How many people lost their job right now? Every one of them, that was an immediate trigger for them to be able to roll their money over and get that into the right place for them. Now, if you don't know how to do that and you're on this call, like I said, you know, contact the person that got you on this call and say, how do I roll it over? What do I got to do to make sure that my money works for me? And we'll help you with that. Self-employed people have access to SEP, Simples, and even solo 401k plans and that kind of thing. And 529s, and really that's it. I mean, just, you know, all about the tax shelters. So I'll turn it back over to you, Roy.
All right. Thank you, Tommy. And guys, so what you're hearing is the way we run these, you know, I'm buzzing through a bunch of stuff. And I know some of you are sitting there saying, man, slow down. I'm going to be slower now. Okay. Because this is the new stuff. But we have Tommy who is taking notes. He's going to take it down to the bullet points. So if you're here right now, what I'll do is I'll be taking notes because we're going to give you the stuff that's going to help you get to your retirement. Now, let me kind of walk you through what we're doing now. So when we first got started, all the way back, 11 weeks ago, we started out with developing budgets and emergency funds and what we call the defense. And then what happens is we started working on the offense. So guys, why do we save money? We save money so one day we can quit working. Does that make sense? That's why we save money. Our goal is to get to a point to where we have time and money, right? That's what we want. And so we work our whole life. And then one day we look and we say, man, it sure would be nice to go play golf every day if I want to, or go to the beach or live in all that stuff. And that's the dream. The dream is to one day get financially independent. You want to have money that will take all of the worries away from you about finances, you know, and that's what we're going to talk about now. So what we've been doing up to this point, we talked about, you know, a couple of weeks ago, how mutual funds work, stuff like that. Tonight, we're going to talk about some annuities. We're going to talk about, you know, different things you can do when it comes to getting your plan together. So this, for some of you, if you're, you know, 40, 50 years old, maybe you're getting near retirement, something like that. You're thinking, okay, now what, where am I? I know where I'm working toward. So let's take a look. Or maybe you're trying to figure out, you know, how much longer you need to work, that kind of thing. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to run through this. First thing, getting started. What I always tell people, if I sit down, if you were to come into my office and say, Roy, what do I need to do? All right, well, the first thing I would do is take and look at your balance sheet. That's what you have minus what you owe. That would be your net worth, because your net worth is what you're going to use in order to be able to retire. That's what causes the retirement. Then you start asking questions. All right, and what I mean about ask the questions, guys, a lot of times people go through their whole life and they feel like if they ask a question, it makes them look dumb or something like that. Guys, what you need to do is you need to ask all the questions necessary, because this is your life. Do you understand that? This is the way you're going to live from the time you quit work until the time you die. This is what's going to cause your family to be a changed family, changing the family tree. So you need to ask the questions. You know, then you would start taking a look at the income sources. We said, now we're going to retire. Where's our money coming from, right? Then we're going to run a profit and loss based on our current conditions. Now, what I mean by profit and loss, how much we got coming in minus how much we have going out, and then we have an idea of what we have left over. And so we need to be thinking about, okay, this is our number, and that gap is our quality of life and savings gap. Then we make changes and focus on raising our income and cutting our expenses. These are things we do as we're getting ready to retire. We start thinking, hey, I need to max out and make as much money as possible before I quit. All right. So if you're healthy, guess what you need to do? Max out your income. Do anything you can, because one day you might get to a point where you can't work anymore. And it's over. So while you're healthy, get out there and get all you can get, and then cut your expenses, and then project out a year from now where you're going to be by doing this, and then get your FIN calculated so you can quit. How about that? And so we create a written plan for financial independence. Does that make sense? So that's what we're doing. Okay. Now, why do we need to have all this? Because people are living longer. My mother's 97 years old. How about that? My dad was 89 before he passed away. 97. All right. So I want you to look at this. All right. So a man, a woman, and a couple. Now look at this stuff, guys. Okay. All right. The chances of one of them, a man being 85 years old, 40%. A woman, 53%. The couple, one of them living, okay, 72% chance to age 85. That means you're going to have 20 years of retirement. Look at 95. Almost 20% of the couples, one of them still going to be living at age 95. Now, what's the beauty part about that? Isn't it great? You know, you live longer, especially if you're in good health. But here's the bad part. It's fine to live to 95 if your income lasts till 95. But man, can you imagine if your income ran out when you're 75? Okay. And now you're living to 95, all right, it would be awful. And so what we want to do, we need to prepare for that. So I have people tell me, so what are the biggest fears they have? Of all things that keep retirees up at night, the biggest fear is running out of money. How about that? Running out of money. So here's some questions that you need answered. How do I eliminate debt? Because that's going to help me to be able to have a more cash flow, right? When you retire, understand this. It's all about cash flow. You with me? It's all about cash flow. When you're accumulating money, it's all about getting the most you can saved. So when you when you retire, it's about cash flow. So if you eliminate some debt, that frees you up cash flow. You have to ask yourself, how long am I going to live? I need to make sure my money lasts. Will my investments hold up? What will I do if the market goes down? All right. And will unexpected costs or events erode my savings? So these are the things that we have to look at and the questions we got to get answered. And so what you want to do is be thinking about, you know, I got people, had one of my clients come in, get this. I've been doing this for 35 years. And in 1986, this guy was had new kids, you know, and he and his wife were getting started, and they had no money, and they opened up a $25 a month mutual fund. How about that? $25 a month. That was their first deal. We just got through talking a couple weeks ago. They have over $700,000 saved, and he's like, I'm quitting. He said, I hit my number. You told me to work five more years and I did. I'm quitting. How about that? And he knows, and we went through the numbers and he's like, okay, it's going to happen. It's good. Okay. So the first question is, are you ready to retire? All right. So to discover whether or not you're ready to retire, how much you need to retire in the life is the lifestyle you've always imagined, right? You got to ask yourself a few questions, right? So what are some of the questions? How much money do I need? Right. Wouldn't that make sense? I mean, I want you to think about it, guys. Wouldn't it make sense that you need to know how much money you should have, right? I mean, that's kind of like, you know, getting in the Uber and the guy says, where do you want to go? He says, well, just drive. And you just ride around in circles for weeks at it, and you're like, am I getting there? No, I don't know. Well, I don't know. How could I get there? I don't even know where I'm going, right? So you need to have your FIN number. As a general rule, you're going to need 80 to 100% of your income during the early retirement years. How about that? Make sense? So you need to replace your income 80 to 100%. Nobody wants to say, hey, let's see if I can cut back. So how are you going to discover this? Well, first thing you do is you just do some estimates. You say, well, how many years to retirement? I'm this many years. How many years do I have left before I retire? What do I have already? What am I wanting to get in return when I quit, right? What are my expenses going to look like? And how am I going to allocate my money? In other words, where am I going to put it, okay? So let me give you some recommendations. I have people ask me all the time. They say, Roy, now, how much money do I need in order to quit, okay? And I tell them, I say, well, 16 to 20 times your desired income. How about that? So if you wanted to have 60 grand a year, multiply it times 16. All right. And then what happens, this is a way you can pull more, but you have to readjust. And so now you have a retirement goal of 960,000 at 6%. If you pulled 6% per year, you get 57,600. So that gives you about 60 grand a year. Now each year, if the account goes up, you can pull out more. If it goes down that year, you pull 6%. You always have 16 years left when you do it that way. So if they were to get 8%, then that should provide you a growing income stream, which is what we want to do. All right. So that's just kind of a rule of thumb. 20 times, you could take 5% off, and you would need to have 1.2 million, depending on how conservative or aggressive you are on pulling the money out. So what we do is we always readjust on this year in value. And then that way that gives us our next year income. It's similar to like if you're working for a company and you get a bonus, well, guess what's going to happen? You're going to probably be able to spend a little bit more, but the next year you don't get the bonus, you got to spend less. Same thing. Okay. So now what am I going to be spending my money on? So this is what you look at. So where am I going to get it? Okay. You know, I've got our old age pension in Canada, you got Social Security, you may have a pension, very few people do, you got your 401ks, you got non-qualified retirement plans, that would be like annuities, you might have a rental property, you might work a little bit, you might own a business, you got investment income. So what you want to do is go down that list and say, yep, I want to get that, 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 I got this, I got that, da 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 da. And then I'm going to look over and I'm going to say, what are some of my expenses? Is your house going to be paid off? Okay. You've got insurance, you got travel, you got stuff like that, you got groceries. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at that. And so then what we do is we go in and we say, now that we've got kind of an idea, we're going to figure out what the risks are that we face and how we're going to go about building something to where we get rid of the risk. So the first risk to your retirement is your debt. The next one is healthcare cost. The third one is taxation. Then we have market risk, we have inflation, and then lastly, we have what's called probate risk. That's your inheritance that you want to leave behind. I talk to people all the time, and it's interesting how people's life, they start out, they can't wait to get a job. And as soon as they get the job, they can't wait to quit. All right, I hear people, I'm going to retire when I'm 30. Okay, well, great, you can't. Okay, because you don't have any money. So then you decide, okay, I want to retire. Well, then you start working and saving, and then you retire 10 or 15 years into your retirement, health's good, you're enjoying life. Then, you know, it gets harder because you get older. And then, you know what I find happens then? People are like, man, I want to leave my money. I want to leave money behind for my kids and stuff like that. And so what happens is we go through, we got all these things with the final destination being that we're going to leave something behind. All right, so that's kind of the mindset. So let's talk about some things. Okay, it's never been easier to borrow money. Guess what? 1950, the first credit card came about, called Diners Club, then Bank of America, then, of course, Amex and all that kind of stuff, then Freddie Mac and Sally Mae. Those were put together by the government in order to help you borrow money on your houses. And look, and so what's happening is all this debt just keeps getting bigger. Then the banks are deregulated, they loan more money, then they sell the mortgages, all that stuff. And look what's been going on. It's just going and going and going and going and going, right? And guess what? And we get deeper and deeper in debt. Check this out. All right. The young people, they have, the millennials, 46,000 in debt. The Generation X has 104,000. Okay. Average. Baby boomers, 70,000. And then finally the silent majority, or the old, we'll call it the older people, that they've got 30,000. Okay. So this is across the board what's been happening. People are getting more and more debt. The millennials, they'll be going along. The baby boomers are paying it down, and then finally that. So look at that. We get deeper and deeper in debt. So we got to have a plan to get out of debt. So budget during your working years so that as many major emergency expenses can be managed through savings. Okay. Stick to a budget. We've talked about that. Dollar limits are enforced for entertainment, food, clothing, holidays, things like that. Optimize the amount you're saving for your retirement plans by having consistent contributions to an IRA or 401k. All right. You want to contribute to a 529 plan to help plan for college expenses or one of the Canadian plans. And why are we doing this? To unburden the next generation of student loan debt. So the next generation student loan debt is going to be dependent on what somebody saves, you know, when they're young. And educate yourself on the cost of debt, which far outweighs the cost of the item financed. All right. So just because we have low interest rates doesn't mean you need to go in debt. Okay. So you want to be paying attention to that. The next big expense that you got to deal with is healthcare cost. All right. So think about this. Many people retire early. They're living longer. Okay. They're more productive, and they tend to underestimate the cost of healthcare. Get this, guys, $285,000 is what it's going to cost you to cover your medical expenses in retirement. All right. I see people come in and they got $285,000. All right. And that's what they've saved. All right. And Social Security, it's going to cost $285,000 just to pay your medical bills. Isn't that crazy? So what you need to be thinking about is, I got to be saving, get my money working for me, doing that kind of stuff. 39% of retirees, they did a consumer confidence survey 2019, say they're only somewhat confident they'll be able to take care of their medical expenses. And that's something. And I want you to think about that. The one thing I want to always be able to do is go to the doctor if I need to. Y'all agree with that? Get my prescriptions. The next thing, what about long-term care? All right. So let me give you an example. $500,000 long-term care, you could go through that in 4 years. Isn't that crazy? 4 years, long-term care in a lot of different cities. And so what is long-term care insurance? Long-term care insurance will protect your assets. It's called asset protection. So what you do is you buy an insurance policy that will be able, that is designed to pay in the event you go into a nursing home. And why is it so important? Because a nursing home, if you're married and one of you is in the nursing home, it's like getting a divorce. And you say, well, how's it like getting a divorce? Well, what happens is you've got two households and one income. How about that? Two households, one income. So how do you protect against that? You buy long-term care insurance. And so I'm not going to get into a lot of detail on this, but this is the one thing that I would tell you if you're at or near retirement, you may want to consider. And what it, unless you have a lot of money set aside and you can afford the nursing home and still be able to do it, more than likely, this would be the one insurance that you'd want to get. What about taxation? All right. So here's what goes on. Now, I'm gonna give you a little idea. Did you know that Social Security is taxed? How about that, guys? So we pay in we pay in Social Security forever. And then most people are surprised to find out that when they retire, if they have any amount of money saved, the next thing you know, their Social Security gets taxed. 85 to 100% of it gets taxed. And in many cases, I've seen people say, man, alive, I got more taxes now that I quit than I did when I was working, right? And so now let's take a look at how we spend our money. Well, the first thing you might do is spend taxable investments. All right, by doing this, this will allow you to tax defer your plans longer. How about that? So what you can do is you can put that money aside, okay, that you have for retirement, start spending anything you have, okay, that's already been taxed anyway, because it goes along with never pay taxes on money you're not using, right? So what you're going to do is you start out. So there's an order in which you do this. The second thing, you start looking at your tax deferred accounts, your annuities and things like that. Okay. And then lastly, your tax-free assets. Okay. That will be your Roth IRAs and your tax-free savings accounts in Canada. All right. Now, why are you doing this? Because it just keeps growing and growing and growing. So what we do when we meet with people, we sit down and say, okay, let's get a plan together for the next 5 or 10 years. All right. And then we'll have another plan for the remaining years. And the way you go about doing that is just like we said right here. So it's very important. Also, it's very important the timing in which you take some of your, Social Securities and things like that. So next one is market risk. What is market risk? Well, most people think the only risk is market risk. All right. It's not. Okay. Market risk is one risk. We have a lot of other risks. We got taxation. We've got inflation. We got all those kind of things. But here's what market risk is. When you retire, you don't know if the day you retire, if the market's going to go up or go down. So what if it comes in and you time it and you just happen to be unlucky and the day you retire, the market goes straight down? That has an impact. All right. So what you want to do is make sure that you have the right risk tolerance as well as what we call risk capacity. So let me give you a difference in this. So if we have a bull versus a bear, and then we have a bear market's going down, a bull market's going up, okay? But let me give you an example. Risk tolerance, we talked about this, is you would like to say, I don't want to take any risk. Risk capacity is what you have to take in order for you to be able to retire with X number of dollars. So let me give you an example of what that means. You say, I don't want to lose any money. I want all my money sitting in the bank at 1%. Okay. Well, in order to do that at 1%, if you want $50,000 a year, you need $5 million set aside. You don't have $5 million set aside, right? So your risk tolerance is, you can't do that. So what you have to do then, you say, well, I got to take on some risk. That's my capacity. So what is it going to need to do in order for me to be able to retire? And so what we do is we sit down with people, and this is where it becomes very important that you understand what you have to make and what you're willing to take in the form of risk. And you put it together, mesh it all together, and you come up with with where you want to go. All right. Inflation. So give me an example. Now look at this. Look at that chart. This is a 3% inflation chart. Isn't that crazy? 3%. If you look at 3% inflation over 30 years, all right, that means every dollar that you earn today needs to be $2.4. Or if you need 10 grand, you need 24 grand 30 years later. So as we're moving out in inflation, now let's think back. Not only do we need to deal with inflation as we're accumulating money, we also need to deal with it because what was that number? The number of people who live for till they're 90, 95 years old, 18%. So that means when you retire, you've got 10,000 today, say you're 65, and 30 years later, you need 24,000 in order to do that. So we have to put our money in places that allow us to have some inflation help. And then lastly is inheritance and probate risk. So what I want to do is I remember my dad, he had a living trust, and I have one of those too in the States, and there's different ways of doing it. But the bottom line is the last thing you want to have happen is your kids fighting over money. Does that make sense? The last thing you want to have happen, you want to have it all tidied up nice and stuff like that. Now, how do you do that? Well, the first thing is retirement plans have beneficiaries to them. So that means it goes directly. So you name a beneficiary. It's real simple. Annuities have the same thing. Then you've got mutual funds. Okay, they're going to be more, and they become part of your estate. So what do? And we start looking at ways to easily transfer money to the next generation. Does that make sense? We want to do that because how the heck you want to work all this time, and then the next thing you know, you got no money. So Tommy, I'm going to turn it over to you for a brief recap, and then we're going to finish up tonight.
Man, that was awesome, bro. That was just, got like page after page of notes here. So once again, back to the basics, you know, we need to create a written financial plan. You know, I'm assuming everybody on this call has a desire to get debt-free, financially independent, and properly protect their family. Having that written plan, you know, you need a coach and you need a plan. We offer that as a company, and as if you're a licensed rep on here, you learn about that all the time, but how to construct a plan. I heard people are living longer. My God, your mom being 97. I hope that I get a ticket that long. But when you retire, you know, it's about cash flow. And when you're working, it's about making and saving money. Okay. There's got to be a point at the end, you know, thinking like, when I get there, you know, will I be able to survive, you know, without having to work for money? You are a slave to the dollar unless you have the dollars saved, right? How long will I live? I mean, imagine, you know, you get to the point where you're older and you actually, there's some people like this. I mean, I've unfortunately known some of them that because they were so broke financially, they died financially along the way that they just said, man, I just can't wait to die because they got sick. And they almost couldn't wait to exit because financially struggling. That's not a place that anybody wants to be. So, you know, the only way to fix that is fix your finances, get on these things, take notes. It's on there every week. Will my investments hold up? These are what people are asking out there right now. Am I on track? When will I be debt free? Are you ready to retire? FIN number. Shouldn't we know how much money we have that we need to have when we retire? I mean, these are like so simple. Right, with what you're covering, but these are things that, you know, people are sticking their head in the sand or sticking themselves in front of a TV, and instead of they're watching all the news channels, and we need to pull people away from that and say, shut it off. I mean, let's stick your nose in your own financial needs analysis. I love this question. Where are you at? I mean, pretty much, you know, get the balance sheet out. Let's look at the balance sheet. Assets minus your debts, okay? Take your debts away from your assets. And what do you have left? I mean, You know, I love that. 16 to 20 times. You know, whatever your income is, you need to have that saved. You need to be thinking big, okay? You know, I mean, your money, your debt, and your health. These are things. I know it's so simple. The income and the expenses is the quality of how you're living. All the different risk things that you went over. I mean, taking into account the tax risk, the healthcare risk. Guys, we're going to face risk no matter what. You get a certain period of time, and you're talking about this, right? I'm like, man, there's a woman that was in our business, and I just kept on saying, man, you got to do it while you're healthy. You got to build it. Here it is. Passive residual income. Every single day you've got to be either saving money towards that or building something towards that. And you got to realize that one day we're all going to face that risk. And it's not like, hey, you know what? I hope I die and my life insurance policy takes care of that. Don't you want to get to the point where you say, at least I have the money saved and you're able to do that. If unfortunately you do die along the way, we do want our families protected. But when you hit your 60s, 65, 70, wouldn't it be nice to know that you just didn't have to work and you had that? I mean, it's not going to happen by an accident. Get rid of your debts. You know, spend less than you're making. Sacrifice now or you're going to sacrifice your future. Social Security's taxed. I just learned that tonight, man. I mean, you're amazing. And just on and on, bro. We need to really get serious about all of our finances. We need to sit down and I've been doing this for 26 years, guys. You always can learn. This is free. You got this free information and everybody needs it. You need to get people on here every week so they can get in the next 12-week program. You're doing a great job, right? Turn it over to you.
Thank you. All right. And so, what we're going to do now, we're going to finish up, guys, and we'll get into a few things here regarding, you know, where are we going to put the money, that kind of thing. So let's take a look. So four building blocks of a confident retirement. The first one is your living expenses. You got to make sure they're covered, right? The next one is your lifestyle. What's optional when you retire, right? So you start looking at that. And these are things we're going through to try to figure out how to get where we want to be. The next one is, do we have emergency money set aside? All right. And we want to make sure and plan for that. So we still keep an emergency fund. And then do we have a plan to pass it on, right? You know, a lot of people say, well, we're just going to leave behind whatever's left. Well, that's fine. But a lot of you want to do something different than that. Okay. And so we have ways of doing that. Okay. So let me give you an example. Here's a person, case study. You know, they're 65 years old in good health. And they got $45,000 in emergency savings. They got $1 million in their retirement. And they got a house. And they spend about $40,000 a year, okay, in living expenses and lifestyle, $27,000. So $67,000, and they're going to get $28,000 a year in Social Security. So if you look at it, their Social Security pays the lifestyle, so they need another $40,000. So let's take a look. So what's the optimal rate for these people to pull out, okay? All right, so we're going to use these building blocks when we discuss spending goals, okay? So the annual basic living cost is $40,000. They would set an objective to achieve 100% confidence in meeting that. So let me give you an example about that. If you pull 4% on a 50-50 stock and bond portfolio, they've back tested it for 30 years, every single 30-year period, and you got a 97% what we call confidence rate, that you're not going to run out of money. How about that? All right. So what we want to do, so they have $1 million, 4%. That's about where they're at. They desire $27,000 from the lifestyle expenses. They have flexibility with this. They agree to be 75% confident reaching it. It needs to be maybe a balanced income growth and asset preservation, right? So they're going to have that money. They have cash savings of $45,000. That's good. And they'd like to leave a legacy for their children, okay, which would be the home. So now they got a plan, right? So they're going to blow through their money and leave the house, and they want to be sure that they never run out of money. So the $1 million would need to generate $40,000 to cover both their living expenses and lifestyle, okay, with a 4% rate. Make sense? So there it is. So where do we go to figure this out? Well, the first thing is, we talked about mutual funds, but the question is, do we want some insurance on top of that? And that's where things called annuities come in. And there's really basically on an annuity, there's several different things that happen in the annuity side. And so we have indexed, we have structured annuities, we have variable annuities, and then we have mutual funds that are uninsured. So now what is the difference? Okay, well, insurance companies have annuities in order for annuities to be able to provide income. That's what annuities are for. We defer our taxes and then we have income. And so depending on the risk we're willing to take is the reward that we end up getting when it comes to the different types of annuities. So what are some annuities? An annuity is between the insurance company, where you make a lump sum or series of payments. And what's difference in the insurance and an annuity? Well, life insurance pays someone if you die. Annuities take payments up front and give it out in the form of a lifetime income stream until they die. Variable annuities do the same thing, except whatever's left you end up getting. So the goal of an annuity is to provide a steady stream of income during retirement. Now, they grow tax deferred. We know that's good, and can be withdrawn after age 59 and a half without penalty. So what do we have? We have three basic types. We have a fixed, a variable, and an indexed annuity. Fixed annuities pay a guaranteed amount. The downside of this is it gets a very slightly better than the bank. So we have inflation risk. Variable annuities provide the opportunity for higher return, accompanied with risk. You pick from a mutual fund portfolio called a sub-account, and then the money is in investments, all right? Indexed annuities are somewhere in between. They have a guaranteed minimum, okay, that you can't lose money, and then you get a percentage of the upside. So it's somewhere in between there. And so where do annuities fall in? A lot of people will take their 401k and their retirement money and all that kind of stuff and put maybe 20, 30, 40% into something that gives predictable income. That's what annuities are for. And so anyway, so if I'm retiring in less than 10 years, and keep in mind, this is not everyone. Until you sit down with someone, this is kind of the way it looks, but everybody's different. I want to make that very clear. If you're within 10 years, you might have 50% of your money in a balance fund, maybe 30% in a growth and income fund, and maybe 10% in a growth fund and international fund. Now, if you're retired, okay, you're going to back it off. A balance fund, mostly 75% in a balance fund. That means a stock and bond fund, and maybe what's called large company funds. And so these are allocations. People ask me all the time, where should I put it? Well, it depends on each person, but that kind of gives you an idea. One last thing, and we're going to close. Things every one of you should know about the SECURE Act. We are now allowed to wait until age 72 to take what's called required minimum distributions. Used to, you had to take them at 70 and a half. Now, why does that matter? Because you can defer if you don't need your IRA money. You can live on other things and just continue to defer it out, okay? And it went up from age 70 and a half, but if you're retired this year, if you know anybody's retired and they don't need the money, then guess what? They can let it keep growing and stuff like that. And so, guys, I hope this has been helpful to you. We're going to buzz out of here right now, and we've got one more coming up. If you've ever thought about maybe earning some sideline money, we have a lot of people that say, man, I love this. I love what you guys teach. I'd like to find out about a way that I could do something like this. Ask that person to send you a link right now if you don't already have it. We're going to be starting back in just about 2 or 3 minutes and going through our Join the Team session. If you need help with anything tonight, or if you have any questions, be sure and reach out to that person. That's what they invited you out. I would encourage you to tune in next week and make sure you get all, if you have a friend or family member, you got that link, go ahead and send it to them. And that way they can register for next week as well. And so with that, thanks for attending. We are going to call it off, and I got 2 minutes before we get rolling on the next one. Tommy, thank you. Great job recapping. Guys, y'all have a good night, and we'll be hopefully seeing you next week. Talk to you later.